Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation
with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, about 8 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater. I am your host, Carl Amari, and this is program 241 in the series. It's December 10th. It's a Sunday night, and to my right is the very vivacious and lovely Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
Hi, Carl.
What's cooking?
Everything's great. We're about to play some radio shows, and we have a fun contest that we're going to play tonight that I don't know everybody knows, so it's a big night. We have a new producer just for tonight. He's filling in. Tom Hush always does a fantastic job, so we're happy to have
you. Are you brand new?
Just new tonight.
I'm new in many senses.
He's fresh. He's very fresh.
Are you shiny and new?
Yeah. I mean, I shaved today.
Oh, good. Thank you.
For us.
Yes.
Thank you.
We have three classic radio shows to take you up to 2 a.m., and they are The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, good Christmas show from 1948. Then it's Al Jolson on the Kraft Music Hall, great music from Christmas of 1948. And then The Life of Riley, in a flashback show to their very first Christmas, starring William Bendix from 1947, and it's all brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity School, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow!
This actress stars in the upcoming film A Rainy Day in New York, about the relationship between a teenage girl and a middle-aged man.
Mm.
Oh, I like those kind of movies. I don't know why. I'm sorry. And the winner is going to get a MyPillow. We love
MyPillow. Did you have a crush on your professors? Is that why, when you're in school? Is that what you...
No.
No?
Nope.
Are you sure about that?
Oh, I'm sure.
Okay. All right. So they win a MyPillow.
Yeah. The most comfortable pillow you will ever own is a MyPillow.
All right. Call us 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actress played Sleeping Beauty in Maleficent.
When are you going to tell me that I'm cursed?
Yeah. When are you going to tell me that I'm cursed?
Oh, you
sound just like her.
Oh, yeah.
Did I, Tom? Sounded just like her. All right, 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after these words.
Welcome back to the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play that one more time.
When are you going to tell me that I'm cursed?
Hi, Kathy. How are you?
Hi.
Good, good. Great to hear from you. Do you know who that actress is?
Yes, Elle Fanning.
Elle Fanning, you've got it right, and we are thrilled because you have won a MyPillow, which is guaranteed the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. You can visit MyPillow.com for more information. So congratulations, you're going to love it.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're so welcome. I know I bought one for Carl, I don't know, last year was it?
Yeah,
for something.
You got me
two of them,
actually.
I did, I got you two, because I figured for that big bet of yours.
Head.
Oh, I figured it was a big bet.
Part of my head on one and part of my head on the other one.
We're heading into
Kathy
the wrong direction.
Kathy probably has a
here.
Normal size head, though. She only needs one.
Well, maybe you would share your bet at some point.
Right, Kathy?
I don't know.
Is it?
She's kidding.
I hope my head is. I hope it's normal.
I'm sure it's a normal size. Well, you're going to love your MyPillow. Thanks for listening to the show and calling in and winning, Kathy.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take care. Merry Christmas. Okay, are you ready, Lisa?
Oh, wait, you wanted to mention something, right,
to our listeners?
A quick thing on the text line. So what we're going to do is a quick contest tonight, and we think you guys are going to love it. We want you to text in your most awkward family photos. They can be holiday or not holiday, whatever you think
like
would be
great.
Like
a kid screaming at the Christmas table or something like
whatever
that?
Whatever you think would be a really funny, awkward family photo, and we're going to go through them. And about around 1 o'clock in the morning, we will pick a winner, and we will send you a great prize. We'll talk more about it later on, but you can start texting in your awkward family photos, and we're going to have a lot of fun with them. We're going to talk about them throughout the night, and we're going to pick a winner.
All right. Sounds good.
Tonight.
All right. Our text in line is 312-981-7200. That's where you should send the awkward photo. 312 312- 877-381-7200. All right, let's start things off with our very first Christmas show of the night, situation comedy episode of Ozzie and Harriet that came to radio in 1944. They were real-life husband and wife, Ozzie and Harriet Nelson, and the series focused mainly on the Nelson family at home dealing with everyday problems. And until 1949, their sons, David and Ricky, were portrayed by actors, not by the real David and Ricky. But in 1949, Ozzie and Harriet decided, you know what? Let's let our real sons play the part. Maybe they wanted to save money or something. Or who knows, right?
You know what? I like that. Yeah. That makes it more real.
You know, they did 400 radio episodes, and then they moved to TV in 1952, and that show lasted all the way until 1966. It had a huge, amazing, successful run on television. Yeah. And we have a radio episode for you now, Christmas show from December 19th, 1948. Here's part one of The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet.
Have you seen that Santa Claus that's downtown near the square?
Oh, yeah, he's a jolly little guy, isn't he?
Yesterday I walked by and said, "Hiya, Santa Claus, what do you know?" And he laughed and said, "America's finest silver plate is 1847 Rogers Brothers."
Hey, he's a good man to have on our side.
America's finest silver plate is 1847 Rogers Brothers. From Hollywood, International Silver Company, creators of 1847 Rogers Brothers Silver Plate, presents The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, starring America's favorite young couple, Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard. At Rogers Road. Oh, you can certainly tell Christmas is coming. Some folks even have their trees trimmed already. And look there at 1847 where the Nelsons live. There's a wreath in the window. Say, can that music possibly be coming from the Nelsons' house? Of course, there they are, the whole family. Ozzie, Harriet, David, Ricky, and even Nick, the family dog, all gathered in front of the radio. It's only 10:30 in the morning. What's music like that doing on the radio at this hour? Has Just Plain Bill changed his theme song? Oh, I see. They're listening to a record on the phonograph.
Oh, it was really something to hear, wasn't it? Quite a record.
Boy, those classical piano players sure can make a lot of noise, can't they, Pop?
Now, that's not noise, David. That's fine music, expertly played.
How can you tell the difference? I enjoyed it very much, dear. Well,
thank you. I'm glad at least one member of the family appreciated it. Fine thing. We get a brand new radio phonograph combination and no enthusiasm whatsoever. When I was a boy...
Are you going to lecture us, Pop? You always start out with "when I was a boy."
I do. Do I, Harriet?
I'm afraid you do, dear. Fool them this time. Start out with "when I was a girl."
The point I'm trying to make, boys, is when we get something like this radio phonograph, let's show a little interest in it.
We're interested, Pop.
I mean real interest. Like the enthusiasm you showed when we got the new car.
When was that?
Well, it was a little before your time, Ricky.
Go on outside and play, boys. You're upsetting your father. Come on, Ricky.
What does it take to please those guys?
Oh, I'm sure they like it, dear. Don't forget it isn't easy for little boys just to sit still and listen to classical music.
I guess you're right. Sure is a beautiful machine, isn't it?
I think it's wonderful, dear. It's the best Christmas present I've ever had.
No, no, Harry. This is my Christmas present.
Say, I have an idea. Why not call it our Christmas present to each other?
Oh, no, Harriet. I'd like to get you something personal.
Oh, but honestly, dear, this is a wonderful Christmas present. Besides, it was my idea that we buy it in the first place.
Of course, it would be a sensible thing to do. I must admit, it's a lot better than spending money on a bunch of silly junk that neither of us wants.
That's exactly the way I feel.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Let's take an oath. We'll make a binding agreement, a pact. I'll get my pen.
I'll get a bottle of blood.
Well, we can make it just a verbal agreement. I won't get you anything, and you won't get me anything. This radio phonograph is our gift to each other. Agreed?
Agreed.
If I do not keep this vow... What's something awful? Oh, if I do not keep this vow, may Harriet's cold feet be forever implanted in the small of my back, a faithful... Oh, that's Thorny. Now, don't mention the radio phonograph. I want to watch his face when he sees it.
Well, I'd better go look after those dishes.
Come on in, Thorny.
Hi, Oz. Season's greetings.
What's that in your hat band?
Oh, mistletoe. This way I'm always standing under it. Anybody can take advantage of me and kiss me.
Well, don't look at me.
Aren't you going to invite me to sit down?
Well, sure, if you take off your hat.
Okay.
Oh, no, mistletoe tied in your hair.
Well, certainly. Why be half safe?
Notice anything unusual in the room, Thorny?
No, I can't say that I do.
Look, I'll stand over here and lean on this. Notice anything unusual?
No, I'm afraid not.
Okay, you go ahead and play innocent. I'm not going to mention it again.
Before I forget it, Oz, I did a little snooping around and found out what Catherine's getting me for Christmas. You'll never guess.
A new radio phonograph?
Don't be ridiculous. Who wants a radio phonograph? She bought me a brand new, genuine leather golf bag. Has everything. Separate loops for each club, zipper pocket for your sweater and shoes. Even has a place to put your tea. What do you think of that?
What's wrong with a new radio phonograph?
Oz, didn't you hear me? A beautiful golf bag with pockets and zippers. Genuine leather.
Yes, it sounds okay.
Okay is wonderful. It's what I've always wanted. Careful, Oz. Don't lean too heavy on your new radio phonograph.
Well, then you did notice it.
I saw the men bring it in. It's very nice, too.
Oh, thanks, Thorny. Your golf bag sounds awful good, too. Those zipper pockets. Those are really convenient.
I'll bet this has a beautiful tone, Oz. Really a terrific-looking job. Too bad about this little nick in it here at the bottom.
Oh? Didn't notice that. It must have happened when they brought it in.
What a shame. It went right through the finish, didn't it?
Because if those golf bag zippers get stuck, they're liable to tear out a handful of that artificial leather.
What do you think Harriet's going to give you for Christmas, Oz?
She's giving me the radio phonograph.
Oh, that's a nice present. What are you going to give her?
The same thing.
What do you want with two of them?
We're giving this one to each other. It's our Christmas gift, and we're very happy about the whole thing. Very happy.
All right, Oz, stop glaring at me.
We've decided to be sensible this year. We have something we both want, so why go out and buy a lot of silly junk?
You're absolutely right. Well, see you later.
What's your hurry?
I want to go home and hunt around for some more silly junk that has my name on it. Merry Christmas, Oz.
Hello?
Hello, Harriet. This is Mother.
Oh, hello, Mother. How are you?
Pretty good, dear. I've just come from downtown. Finally finished all of my shopping. Oh, just a moment. Just wanted to take my shoes off.
Your feet hurt?
A little. It's strange how small they're making size 5 these days.
I hope you didn't tire yourself out.
Oh, no. In fact, I feel quite gay. It's beginning to look like Christmas around here. You got your tree up yet?
Mm-mm, not yet. I think Ozzie's going to get it tomorrow.
Oh, a lot of them are already up on our block. You can see the lights. In fact, they're trimming one now in the house across the street.
Oh, can you see it?
No, but I can see the star go past the window every time it falls over. Have you found out what Ozzie's getting you for Christmas?
Oh, yes, we decided this morning. We're buying something for the house and giving it to each other.
Oh, really, dear? What is it?
It's a new radio phonograph. It's really beautiful, too.
Oh, that sounds nice. Are you having it delivered on Christmas?
No, it's already here.
Ozzie's going to give you something else, isn't he?
No, Mother. We decided to be sensible this year. It's our one and only gift.
Harriet, dear, there are two times when you're not supposed to be sensible. Finding a husband and Christmas.
Well, we're really very happy about it, Mother.
Well, for myself, I just love opening presents. But if you and I...
Oh, this only includes Ozzie and me. We intend to get gifts for the boys and you.
Oh, now,
and...
don't bother with me, dear. I'll be happy just knowing that you have a nice new radio phonograph.
Oh, now, Mother, please.
Really, dear, I don't mind. You can just call me on the phone and play some records for me.
But we want to get you something.
No, Harriet, no. Well, only one gift, then. Oh, I just can't understand why Ozzie's agreement on you.
Well, he's not forcing it on me, Mother. We're forcing it on each... I mean, we think it's the sensible thing to do.
Well, all right, dear. As long as you're happy, that's all that matters. You are happy, aren't you?
Yes, Mother.
Before I hang up, I want you to smile.
I'm smiling, Mother.
All right, dear. Goodbye.
Doing?
Putting a little furniture polish on this scratch.
What scratch?
Can't you see it? It's almost 3 inches long, right here at the bottom of the cabinet.
Oh, yes. I wonder how that happened.
Probably fell out of the truck. Moving men were probably music haters.
Oh, it's nothing, dear. You can hardly see it.
It'll be all right after I get the polish rubbed in.
I just spoke to Mother. She doesn't think too much of our agreement. I could tell by the way she talked.
Oh, what did she say?
Said she didn't think too much of our agreement.
Yes, it's thorny. Catherine's giving him some silly old golf bag.
I think we're being very sensible, being sensible.
So do I. The combination's a wonderful Christmas present.
It certainly is. Mind you, dear, I'm not trying to back out, but it seems that this is more of a gift to me.
Oh, nonsense. It's more of a gift to me. You know how I enjoy records. Thorny was so envious of my radio phonograph. All the time he was here, he talked of nothing else but his golf bag.
Does that make sense?
He was just trying to cover up his jealousy.
You aren't envious of Thorny's new golf bag, are you?
Well, of course not. Why should I be? I have a golf bag. Fine golf bag. That canvas went out in the garage.
That's not a very good one, is it?
Well, of course it is. It's a little shabby and dirty, but it's plenty good. In fact, I always attract a lot of attention with it. It's the only golf bag I know of you can put the clubs in the top and take them out of the bottom.
I still think that our gift to each other is a very sensible and practical idea.
Oh, of course it is. Come on, let's enjoy it. Put on a couple of records.
Okay. Oh, here's one. It's very appropriate, too. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Never mind. There's one right here on the machine. Yeah, this is very appro...
What's that one, dear?
I got plenty of nothing.
Ozzie Nelson has always been a practical man. In college, his perception, his ability to see the facts, made him a valuable quarterback. A good example was the Rutgers-Cornell game. It was the last quarter, and Rutgers was trailing 41 to nothing. They had the ball on their own 10-yard line, fourth down, 37 yards to go, 1 minute remained to play. Practical Ozzie sized up the situation in a flash. Calmly, he stepped into the huddle, turned to his teammates, and said,
"This is hopeless. Let's quit."
Not to be outdone by Practical Ozzie is Sensible Harriet, keen-minded and quick to make decisions. Together, Practical Ozzie and Sensible Harriet make a rather sensible and practical couple. They've even decided to have a sensible Christmas this year. Yes, sir, they've agreed that their new radio phonograph will be their gift to each other. In the living room of the Nelson home, Practical Ozzie stands admiring the addition to the household.
Don't you think this sort of overwhelms the rest of the furniture?
I don't know, dear. I think we'll get used to it.
Come in.
Hello, Mr. Nelson.
Oh, hello, Emmy Lou. How are you?
Tell me about your new combination, Mr. Nelson. I just had to come over and see it.
Hello, Emmy Lou.
Hello, Mrs. Nelson. Oh, it's beautiful.
Do you really like it?
Oh, yes. And aren't you lucky to have a husband like Mr. Nelson? There aren't many men who'd buy something like this so close to Christmas. But here, Mr. Nelson gets this lovely radio phonograph, and on Christmas morning, he'll surround it with all the beautiful presents he's bought you. What a wonderful husband.
Well, actually, Emmy Lou... Don't. Wait a minute, Emmy Lou, you don't understand.
Yes, I do, Mr. Nelson. You're a man who knows how to keep romance alive. A man who tries to make each Christmas better than the one before.
Yes,
you
got a point.
You can be summed up in one word, Mr. Nelson, and that word is...
No, please, Emmy Lou, I don't deserve it.
Oh,
one maybe,
yes,
but...
you do, Mr. Nelson.
No, Emmy.
Well, goodbye, Mrs. Nelson. Fortunate luck... And goodbye, Mr. Nelson. Generous, big-hearted, bankrupt Mr. Nelson.
It sounds like you when you get a present at Hanukkah time.
If I scream like that, I do
actually,
like presents.
You were pretty happy with the present I gave you
yes,
today.
Yes, I am. I'm very happy.
I gave her her holiday present, yeah. Hanukkah,
I'm
Christmas
gonna
present.
I'm not going to be here next weekend,
yeah.
So I'm taking a week off,
and
Carl's on his own.
The present you gave
thank
me.
Thank you. We'll show
tell,
him later.
Yeah, we'll
I'm
tell everybody
happy.
What it was.
Thank you. Thank
let's
you.
Take a quick break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, welcome back to the show. I'm Carl Amari. To my right, Lisa Wolf.
I was going to say, and I'm Lisa Wolf, and this is
the WGN Radio Theater. Tom Hush, our producer for this evening, and he's wearing a skull cap. Is that what that's called?
I think it's just a really small beanie.
Oh, it's a...
Like you, I have a head thing. I've got
yeah,
this,
you have a gigantic, enormous
head. He's got a big
head,
so it fills up the hat nicely.
When whenever I would sit in front of the TV, my dad would just yell, "Heed, move!" Scots, you know?
Release the dragon, right? Or what is it called? Release the... What is
Kraken.
That? Release what is it? Kraken?
Release the Kraken.
Release. See, Roger
the
knows
dragon.
All this stuff. I don't. I'm always just
you
one.
You were so close, though.
One
missed
letter
it by
off.
A few
that
letters.
Much.
Just a couple of letters.
Yeah.
That's how it is.
Yeah. Well, we have great Christmas, classic Christmas programming all the way through December, and we're tuning in to a very funny episode of Ozzie and Harriet. And Lisa wants to remind all of our listeners to send in your wacky and funniest Christmas photos, right?
Any kind
text
of
text it into us.
Any kind of crazy, funny family photos. We're going to pick our favorite and send you guys a great prize. So,
yeah.
Do they have to be holiday oriented?
It doesn't have to be.
Oh,
I
okay.
know. It
all
can.
Right.
It doesn't have to. I'm easy. You know?
Yeah.
Roger, you could send a photo too.
312. And text it to 312.
You can add that to Nick's inappropriate line, whatever the heck that is.
Text that photo to 312-981-7200. But right now, it's time for the conclusion of The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet.
Such an emotional girl. I wonder if that could be a thyroid condition. What a mob. Why in the world does everybody have to wait till the last minute to do his Christmas shopping? Now, seeing all these silly things makes you realize how sensible we're being, doesn't it, Harriet? Harriet? Come on, dear, keep moving.
Oh,
I'm sorry, madam. I thought you were my wife.
Fresh.
Harriet? Harriet, where are you?
I'm right behind you, dear.
Oh.
Oh, Ozzie, isn't that a beautiful nightgown?
Where's that?
That blue lace one over there on that dummy. It's not very practical, of course.
Isn't it awfully thin?
Thin?
Yeah, the nightgown. Oh, not the dummy. The dummy... No, I mean, the nightgown is thin.
Well, it's supposed to be thin. Isn't it a lovely shade of blue? Well,
it's blue because you freeze to death in it. I wonder what those dummies are made of.
We better be going, dear. We still have to pick up the tree, and I've got to get dinner.
I'll be right with you. I just want to look at some of the sports equipment. Isn't it awful when you think of all the husbands and wives who are going to give each other silly, impractical gifts like these?
That's a good-looking fishing pole, isn't it?
Say, that's not bad. I bet you could pull in some big fish with that one.
Well, well, sir, it's easy to tell that you're fish-minded.
Oh, that's just my hair oil.
You certainly know which is the best equipment. You are no doubt an expert.
Oh, I've done a little fishing. Yes.
It is a beauty, isn't it? I take it you're dropping a little hint as to what you'd like for Christmas, huh?
No, we're being sensible this year.
And there's nothing more sensible than this Flexo fly rod. Flexible yet unbreakable.
It's a nice-looking rod, all right.
Look at the light in your husband's eyes, madam.
Mm-hmm, I notice it. Of course, that might be left over from the negligee we were just looking at.
No, I'd know that look anywhere. That's the fly rod fisherman glaze. Here, take it in your hand. Feel the new lightweight. Note the whip in it. Can't you just see yourself in some cool mountain stream on a warm summer day?
Funny, I can almost feel the clear water lapping at my feet.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's that darn drinking fountain that's been leaking all
day. I hate to hurry you, dear, but I think we better be going.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Thank you very much for the demonstration.
Oh, glad to do it. Anytime you want anything in the way of fishing equipment, just ask for me. That's my section.
I'll do that. What's the name?
Salmon. George Salmon.
We've got everything now, haven't we?
Yes, everything except the Christmas rod. Christmas tree.
Ozzie, why don't you pick up the tree and I'll go home and fix dinner?
Well, what's the rush? It's only... Yeah, maybe that would be a good idea. I'll see you back home.
Okay, goodbye, dear.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Shh. Shh. It's salmon. Shh.
Oh, that's you. For a second, I thought there was a leak in one of our basketballs.
How much is that fly rod my husband was looking at?
Hey, Pop, the Thornberrys have got their tree up already. Can we put ours up tonight?
Please, Pop?
Tonight? We always wait till Christmas Eve to decorate the tree. You guys don't want to spoil your Christmas Eve, do you?
We won't spoil it, Pop. It'll be fun.
Besides, if you decorate the tree tonight, you'll just want to do something else tomorrow night.
We thought tomorrow night we could open our presents.
Oh, fine. By the time Christmas gets here, you'll be celebrating New Year's.
Now, look, fellas, I'm sorry, but we're not going to decorate the tree tonight.
Sure would be fun, boy.
I know it would, Ricky, but we're not going to do it. 5 days isn't too long to wait.
I guess not.
It's almost a week. That's not too long. It'd be fun tonight, yes, but it just spoiled Christmas Eve.
Okay, Pop. Whatever you say, Pop.
Do you boys know where the ornaments are?
Sure, they're up in the attic.
Well, don't break any bringing them down.
We won't. Can we play some Christmas music on the new phonograph, Pop?
Oh, no, definitely not. Now, that's where I draw the line. No Christmas music. Let's save something for Christmas Eve.
But what about I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas? That's not really Christmas music because you're only dreaming of it.
Yes, that's true. Okay, we'll play I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas, but that's all.
Okay, Pop.
Of course, Santa Claus is coming to town would be all right, too. You see, he's coming to town. He isn't here yet.
Oh, boy. Gee, thanks, Pop. Come on.
Pretty late, dear. Hadn't we better get to bed?
Well, let's wait till the fire dies out.
Tree looks pretty, doesn't it?
It'll look even better with the presents under it. That's when a tree is at its best, with the presents piled high. Of course, there won't be any for you this year. For me, that is.
Or for you, for me.
Do you realize Christmas isn't until next Saturday and it's all over for us? That's the one drawback to being so darn sensible. You don't get anything.
You'll get something from the boys.
Oh, yes, for the boys, that's right. I wonder what they bought me. What could they buy me with that measly allowance I get? Times like this, I wish I wasn't such a cheapskate.
Well, you aren't a cheapskate. And we have a lovely present.
You mean that thing with the bottom half of the cabinet gouged out? I think it needs adjusting or a new tube or something, too. It's got an awful tone. The bass keeps going boom, boom.
I think it's a wonderful gift.
Oh, so do I, but... I mean, if you hadn't gotten it for me, I'd have been just as pleased with something less expensive. Like a Flexo fly rod.
Funny, I was just thinking that if you hadn't got me the radio phonograph... I'd have been quite happy with that blue lace nightgown.
Actually, though, why do I need an expensive fly rod?
Well, they're awfully nice to have.
Oh, I know, but how many fish have I ever caught?
One.
I didn't really catch that one. It was lying on the bottom of the stream and I stepped on it.
A blue lace nightgown isn't very sensible either. Much too flimsy. I'd freeze in it.
Oh, you could wear your flannel pajamas under it.
been very sensible.
Oh, very practical.
Ozzie, would you rather have the fly robbed than the radio phonograph and tell the truth?
Oh, possibly so, but I'm not sorry about our agreement. You can get it for me on my birthday. Next to a fly rod, I'd rather have a radio phonograph. If I didn't get a new tennis racket or maybe a golf bag.
But you would like a fly rod.
Well, I guess so, but it's so impractical. You could never wrap a present like that. It's too long.
Oh, no, it's collapsible. And then you remove the reel and wind the line up.
Oh, well, then you could probably... Harriet, you broke our agreement. You bought me the fly rod.
Oh, no, dear.
You didn't?
Not exactly. I'll tell you what happened. You know what a lovable, friendly dog Nick is. And you've been awfully good to him all year, and so he's going to give us a fishing rod for Christmas.
Oh, where is it?
In the linen closet under the blankets on the top shelf. There's another package in there, a big box with a red ribbon around it.
Oh, well, that's a polo shirt.
Pretty fancy. Blue lace polo shirt.
How did you know it was blue lace?
I accidentally punched a hole in the box with my nail file.
Oh, Harriet, now you've spoiled the surprise.
You mean that beautiful nightgown was for me? Oh, but you promised...
No, it wasn't from me. It was from the Thornberry's cat.
Now, I think we're showing real strength of character, keeping our agreement like this.
Gee, I wish you hadn't told me about Nick buying me the fly rod. What a thoughtful dog he is. Maybe we ought to give him the Thornberry's cat for Christmas. Gee, you know, it sure would have been a surprise Christmas morning, that fly rod.
So was my nightgown. Too bad you had to mention it.
Mention it? Well, you jabbed a hole in the package with your nail file.
I wasn't sure what it was, though. It was just a tiny hole.
Oh, you'd have found out. Tomorrow you'd probably nick the box with your meat cleaver.
I wouldn't. What time is it, dear?
11:45. Watch band is getting pretty worn. Millie had some nice-looking leather ones down at the Emporium. But you know, I've been pretty nice to the Dunkel's Fox Terrier.
And now that you mention the Emporium, did you see those darling compacts at the jewelry counter? Wouldn't it be nice if those pigeons down at the City Hall should decide to get together and buy me one?
I have my fly rod and you have your nightgown. It'd be silly to want anything else.
Oh, it'd be very impractical.
It wouldn't be sensible.
It could keep happening over and over again.
Are you sure you'd buy me a leather watch band? Then I'd discover how shabby my wallet is. They have beautiful wallets at the Emporium and very reasonable, too.
You'd get me the compact and then I'd look at my tarnished old lipstick case and remember the beautiful ones they have at Schwab. Do you know something, dear? I think this is going to be the nicest Christmas we've ever had.
Just one thing, though. Don't buy me too many expensive presents. I can't afford it this year.
You know, Harriet's right. This really is going to be the best Christmas she's ever had. Even better than she thinks. Because what Harriet doesn't know is that Ozzie made a secret trip down to Mr. Jonathan's silverware store the other day. And you know what he ordered? A beautiful, gleaming, wonderful, magnificent tea service in 1847 Rogers Brothers remembrance pattern. Isn't that right, Mr. Jonathan?
Yep, that's it, Mr. Smith. We talked it over, Ozzie and I, and we decided it was just perfect. Harriet's got a set of 1847 Rogers Brothers for her table. I'm crazy about it, too, you know.
Why, sure. What woman wouldn't be? 1847 Rogers Brothers is the finest silver plate in America.
Yep. Well, so Ozzie and I thought the tea service was just perfect. He ordered it to match her 1847 pattern. And now he's all set. A wonderful idea for a present, you know.
Yes, sir. And so are those other beautiful 1847 Rogers Brothers pieces. Vegetable dishes and platters and gravy sets. They're the pieces every woman dreams of seeing on her table. And each one is created with all the amazing skill that has made 1847 so famous.
You know, Mr. Smith, when a woman's got anything made by 1847 Rogers Brothers on her table, she's really got something. That year mark, 1847, stands for quality, I'm telling you.
Exceptional quality. Exquisite beauty. So, folks, make it a point to visit your silverware dealers tomorrow. See the stunning pieces created by 1847 Rogers Brothers and choose one for the best Christmas present of all. Yes, for a gift of importance, choose 1847 Rogers Brothers.
Now, this phonograph really has a beautiful tone. Remember the old ones that used to run down? I'll be down to get you in a taxi, honey. You better be ready about half past eight. Now, dearie, don't be late. I want to be there.
Oh, I'd forgotten how we used to have to wind up those old phonographs. We'd crank and crank and crank.
Get you in a taxi, honey. You better be ready about half past eight. You wound me up too tight, honey.
Well, sing a quick chorus before you break your spring.
I'm going to dance off both my shoes when you play those Jelly Roll Blues. Tomorrow night, tomorrow night, tomorrow night, tomorrow night, tomorrow night. Harriet, tomorrow night, tomorrow night, tomorrow night. Help, tomorrow night.
Oh, I'm sorry, dear.
No, thank you.
Here, I'll put you on again. You better throw
this
yourself
away. This is NBC,
away.
The National Broadcasting Company.
They were running late. See, they just cut him right off. That's the way it was. Not like here. We have a little leeway, you know. Roger doesn't jump in when we're talking or when the classic radio shows are playing to do the news. He's very kind, letting us go over a minute or two here and there, you know?
I know.
That's the teamwork that we have here at WGN.
And we do the same. We do the
That's
same for him
right.
As
we
well.
Do. Yes, indeed. That's The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, December 19th, 1948, the new phonograph record for Christmas. Great show. Hope you enjoyed that. I love Ozzie and Harriet. Unfortunately, you know, they were on the air a long time, 400-plus radio episodes. I'm going to guess there's less than 25 or 30
wow.
that exist. Mm. A lot of the TV shows exist, but the radio shows, for some reason, not a lot of them in circulation. But all of them are funny, just like what you just heard. All right, let's take a quick break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
I've got this piano down, Pat. Yeah?
You know, I think we are going to have a chance to meet Bill Curtis.
Gosh,
so
I
know
hope so.
I'm going to introduce you to. He's my old
man.
Friend already by now. We're all going to be here on Friday. We have the WGN Radio Holiday Spectacular.
Yeah.
So hopefully our listeners will tune in on Friday, which is December 15th. I will be there from 10 until noon. I'll be there and you'll be there. And we will both be a part of this variety show. Bill Leff and Doma T. Pongo are writing it. It will be funny. We had a chance to talk to Bill a little bit about what we will be doing in the show. And we can't divulge any details, but it will
be
funny.
It's top secret.
It is. We are sworn to secrecy. It will be fun. We will be there along with many of your favorite other hosts on WGN. So we hope you'll tune in this Friday, December 15th from 10 till 12.
Yeah. Holiday spectacular.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
All right. I think you're singing.
I am.
Yeah, Lisa's singing. Oh,
I am,
man.
Amongst other things.
So
bring
your
earplugs. Should be interesting.
Earplugs.
Right, I don't blame you.
Me. All right, so in this hour, it's the Kraft Music Hall starring Al Jolson, a good Christmas show from 1948. Then in our next hour, the Life of Riley Christmas show from 1947, all brought to you by Cat's Pride.
Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
You know, I have to smile before I read this because this is a movie that I don't think you will go to see, Carl.
All right.
This actress, although you like the actress, stars in the upcoming film Dog Days about a group of people in LA who are brought together by their lovable dogs.
Oh, I like dogs. What are you talking about? I love dogs.
I don't know. I just can't see you going to that one.
Well, I like the actress, and I love dogs, so I would see it.
Okay.
So, see?
I don't think believe you, but okay.
All right.
The winner is going to get a Twilight Zone. It's a 4-CD set.
Very good. The number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actress played Gabriella in High School Musical.
Forget about the rest of us. How about the fact that your brother has worked extremely hard on the show?
Oh, she's so cute.
How about that?
Yeah.
All right. 312-981-7200. Who is that actress? Give us a call. We'll find our winner after these words.
Welcome back. This is the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
Forget about the rest of us. How about the fact that your brother has worked extremely hard on the show?
Yeah. Really hard on that show.
You know, also, I know we already had a winner, but also she was recently a judge on...
American Idol?
No, what show was I watching? She's a judge on it. A dance show. So you think you can dance? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Not my favorite judge, but she's a great girl. Anyhow, Tom took a call off the air, and David knew the right answer. He's on. We've got him on the phone, Carl.
Okay.
David knew the right answer. Relax. And he knew that it was Vanessa Hudgens. So David is a winner. He has won a Twilight Zone 4-CD set. And it's hosted by Stacey Keats. So congratulations to
All
David.
All right. Very good. Okay. You ready for the Kraft Music Hall? This was
a musical
variety show that was heard on NBC Radio. Listen to this broadcast schedule. 1933. All the way to 1949. That is a long time to be on the air.
Sure is.
And it featured the Paul Whiteman Orchestra. In 1936, Bing Crosby was the host. He left the series in 1946. And then there were guest stars for a while. But then, you know who came on board in 1947? Al Jolson took it over. And Jolson's pianist and sidekick, Oscar Levant, added sarcastic wit and charm. The radio series ended in 1949, then made a move to TV in 1958, replacing the Kraft Television Theater. So we have a great musical variety show for you now from 2 days before Christmas, December 23rd, 1948. Here's Al Jolson on the Kraft Music Hall.
This is the Kraft Music Hall, starring Al Jolson with Oscar Levant, Lou Bring and his orchestra and chorus, and our guests, the Kraft Choral Club of Chicago.
So keep on looking for a bluebird and listening for its song. Whenever April showers come along.
Merry Christmas, folks. This is Al Jolson in the Kraft Music Hall, who's going to sing a song that has absolutely nothing to do with Christmas. Is it true what they say about Dixie? Does the sun really shine all the time? Do the sweet magnolias blossom at everybody's door? And do the folks keep eating possum till they can't eat no more? Is it true what they say about Swanee? Is a dream by that stream so sublime? Do they laugh? Do they love like they do in every song? If it's true, that's where I belong. I said, do they laugh? Do they love like they do in every song? Oh, that's luscious. If it's true, that's where I belong.
Hall.
Yeah.
I have a little Christmas package for you that comes from everyone connected with the Kraft Music Hall.
Oh, Ken, I've got to do the show. Don't let me break down now, but really, that's wonderful.
Well, everyone except one person, Oscar Levant.
Well, you know, Ken, ordinarily I'd feel bad about Oscar, but I don't care because this morning, just this morning, Mr. Kraft, you know, the man who owns the show, sent me a big box of cheese.
He did?
Yeah, and he put a beautiful greeting card in the package. Here it is, Ken. Read it. Read it out loud, will you?
I'll read it. Well, it says, Merry Christmas, Al. In the coming year, may your hoper be as high as your age.
Isn't that ridiculous? Whoever gets a hooper past 42? But tell me, Ken, why didn't Oscar chip in on my gift? That, you know, really hurts me.
Well, you remember, Al, you didn't talk to him last week, and he feels quite miserable about it.
Well, I can think of more ways to make him miserable, but right now I'm going to sing.
That'll make me miserable.
No, Oscar, don't start anything. I've been patching things up with Al.
Don't worry about it, Ken. It doesn't matter if things are never patched up with that mullet head.
All right, Mr. Levant. Christmas or no Christmas, you asked for it. Not only am I not going to talk to you, but I'm also going to take you to court for calling me a mullet head.
It won't do you any good.
Oh, it won't, eh?
Nah, didn't you read in Time magazine that Judge Edward Delaplane of Maryland just handed down a decision that it was not a crime to call you a mullet head? And according to his ruling, I can call you a beanhead, a booby, a chump, a dingbat, a filbert, a peanut brain, a stoop, a tin pot, and a flummediddy.
Look, Oscar, I don't mind being called a dingbat and a peanut brain, but nobody can call me a flummediddy. Except another flummediddy. Put up your fist.
I can't keep my fist doubled up. I gotta play the piano.
Play the piano with your fist. It sounds the same.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Got that in all right.
Al, if that's the way you want it...
That's the way I want it.
That's the way you'll get it. I shall now play the second movement of the Rachmaninoff Concerto for piano and flummediddy.
Thank you.
Al, hasn't the spirit of the season hit you a little? Why don't you talk to Oscar? It's only 2 days to Christmas.
Okay, Ken. Oscar, I realize this is no time to bear a grudge. After all, you and I have been friends for years. Honestly, believe me, I like you and I admire you. No matter what my attitude toward you has been, deep down in my heart, I think you're a wonderful fella. Really, I do. You're sweet, kind, gentle, tender, and lovable.
Kiss me.
I'll put it in your stocking for Christmas. And now that we're speaking again, Oscar, I'm going to let you play the piano for me. Doesn't that excite you, huh?
Whoopee.
Please, Oscar, I measure my friends by their enthusiasm for me.
Okay, whoopee.
Al, on a level, you know what I think of you.
Yeah, that's what bothers me.
Al, I want you to know that all those insults were just in fun, and that I have the utmost respect for you.
I know that, Oscar.
On a level, I think you're the greatest singer of this century.
Thank you. But this century produced many great singers. Now, there was my old friend Chauncey Alcott. I remember how thrilling it was when he first sang his composition, Mother McCree. I was so excited about it that I quickly made my own arrangement of it.
Oh, yes, Al, I've heard your arrangement of Mother McCree. It's called Mammy McCree, isn't it?
No, Oscar. No, it isn't. Why, when I sing Mammy, I mean Mother McCree, I'm as Irish as Patty's pig. Now play it for me, Oscar, and I'll show you.
Al Jolson will now sing Mother McCree like Patty's pig.
Should I love the dear silver that shines in your hair and the brow that's all furrowed and wrinkled with care? I kiss the dear fingers so toil-worn for me. No, God bless you and keep you, Mother McCree.
Beautiful, Al. You sang that like a true son of old Aaron. Aaron Yolson.
Please, Oscar, don't criticize my dialects. That's one thing I'm very proud of. Listen to this one. Oscar, laddie, it's a brobricht mulich nicht knich.
Where'd you get that, off a roll of scotch tape?
No, sir. I got that from one of the greatest of all entertainers, Sir Harry Lauder. Remember him?
Aye.
Wasn't he wonderful?
Aye.
Couldn't you sing Oscar?
Aye.
Who was greater?
Me.
You just don't remember him, Oscar. I knew Harry Lauder. He was great. And I want to talk about him.
By all means, talk about any musician you knew, including Nero.
Don't joke about Nero. He was the Yusha Heifetz of my day. But no matter what you say, there is no one who could sing like Wee Bonnie Harry.
Except Wee Bonnie Baker.
Oscar, picture if you can the spotlight shining on this little man with a tam o' shanter kilt and the crooked cane. Keep playing while I put on me kilt and me tam o' shanter. And Mr. Bring, if you're not too tired, man, hand me a crooked stick with you.
All right, let's take a break here on the Kraft Music Hall, starring Al Jolson from 1948. We'll be right back after these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Esmeralda, Christmas plans?
Oh, she has to put her headphones on. I'll be working here.
Oh, but come on, there's got to be some other plans besides working. It's Christmas.
I'll be here.
Oh.
That's a good plan.
All right. Well, we'll bring you something. I'm going to be here, I think.
You'll be here on the 24th, but not the 25th.
No, I think I'm here the 23rd, but then Christmas Eve I have off. All right. I was hoping you were going to say I'm going to go to Hawaii or can you do it via IST
in
online?
My mind.
Okay.
I'll be there in my mind.
Well, thanks, Esmeralda.
I'm
not going to Hawaii either, so.
I'm not going to Hawaii, but I am taking a little break here.
Taking a little
break.
I'll
going
come to
back fresh like Tom.
Yeah.
Tom's fresh.
She'll come back with a real
too.
Deep, dark tan because Lisa tans so well.
Yeah, my skin is really tanning, of tanning quality. Yeah, I have to stay out of the sun. I'm sort of like a princess
You're
that
like
way.
Fine She's china.
Quite
something like that.
Very fragile.
I do have delicate skin.
Yes, you have. she does.
Oh, my.
All right. So are you enjoying the good music here with Al Jolson?
And the Kraft
Choral Group, which is from Chicago.
Yes, I heard that.
So let's go back to 1948 for more of the Kraft Music Hall.
I am now putting on this gift.
How you doing now?
I'm ready, new Mr. Bring. I'm ready. For she's my Daisy, my bonnie Daisy. She's as sweet as sugar candy, and she's very fond of Sunday, and I'm weary about me dearie. I would rather lose me whip than lose me Daisy. Whitman. As I said before, it's a Braubricht, Moonlicht, Nicht, Nicht.
Yeah, get me a towel, will you? Al, it must have been thrilling to listen to Harry Lauder. But there's another guy from this same era who could hold an audience in the palm of his hand. Why, I remember when I was a kid, sitting in the Winter Garden one evening, back in 1916, and a bundle of energy bounced on the stage to sing Robert E. Lee. That was the great Al Jolson.
Yes, it really was wonderful.
Oh, that was me!
Yes, I guess it was you, impossible as it sounds.
I'll prove it. Let the orchestra hit a Confederate note, and we'll bring in the 1906 Winter Garden into the 1948 Music Hall.
The Kraft Music Hall, where old songs come to die. Here you are, Al. The house lights are on, so you can see the people's faces. The footlights are out, so they can't see yours.
Way down on the levee in old Alabama, there's Daddy and Mary, there's Ephraim and Sammy. On a moonlight night, you can find them all. While they are waiting, the banjos are syncopating. What's that they're saying? What's that they're saying? While they keep playing, a humming and swaying, it's the good ship Robert E. Lee that's come to carry the cotton away. Watch them shuffling along. See them shuffling along. Go take your best gal, your real pal. Go down to the levee. I said the levee. Join that shuffling throng. Hear that music and song. It's simply great, mate. Waiting on the levee, waiting for the Robert E. Lee.
Come on, folks. Step up here and get some chitlin'. Anybody want chitlin'? Hmm? Well, if you don't like chitlin', how about some pigtails? Well, then, how about some pork chops? Well, somebody must like a little pork chops or spoon bread or black-eyed peas. Well, if you don't like that, how about a little fried chicken with the gravy oozing out? Mm-hmm.
Watch them shuffling along. See them shuffling along. Go take your best gal, your real pal. Go down to the levee. I said the levee. Join that shuffling throng. Yeah, that music and song is simply great, mate. Waiting on the levee, waiting for the robber to leave.
Now, I've been listening to you tell Oscar all about the old songs, but you left out one which I think is the greatest of all.
What's that, Ken?
When you were sweet 16.
Well, I can't remember that far back. But I'll sing it anyway.
I love you as I never loved before. Since first I met you on the village green. Come to me, for my dream of love is o'er. I love you.
In the parade of beloved singers, we can't leave out one who, in my opinion, is the greatest of them all. Of all the songs he sings, I think the one that fits his holiday season is the most popular. Well, you'll know the name of it the moment the music starts to play.
Of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. And I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write, may your day be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white. May all your Christmases
In our music hall, it's a Christmas tradition to hear from a group of non-professional singers famous in the Middle West for the beauty of their song. The Kraft Choral Group, 80 men and women from the Kraft headquarters in Chicago. Tonight, under the direction of Gerhard Schroth, they will sing for us four Slavic Christmas carols. For the Kraft Choral Club, we take you now to Chicago.
About Sunday evening, your folks will want something simple and fresh and cool-tasting for dessert. That's the time to set out a square of delicately flavored Philadelphia brand cream cheese and some crackers. Add some of the holiday candied fruits or nuts or jelly, and you have a splendid dessert for company, ready in about 3 minutes flat. Just remember to buy that famous cream cheese tomorrow. Remember to get the brand of cream cheese that's guaranteed fresh by Kraft. To do that, look on every package you take for the famous name, Philadelphia brand cream cheese. It's been America's favorite for more than 60 different Christmas seasons.
And now, folks, before I head for home and fill myself up with Philadelphia cream cheese, I want to wish all of you a Merry Christmas from all of us connected with a Kraft company. Good night, everybody.
Sure.
to hear Al Jolson on the 2 Hours of Stars program on Christmas Day over your NBC station. Tune in again next Thursday to the Kraft Music Hall when our guest will be Doris Day. This is Ken Carpenter saying good night.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
There is the Kraft Music Hall starring Al Jolson from December 23rd, 1948. Sponsored, of course, by Kraft, as heard on NBC. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Now, we told our listeners that we would reveal what we gave each other for the holidays.
Right.
Yeah, so
all
we
right.
have a minute or so.
All right.
So,
you'll have to explain yours.
Well, Lisa went shopping today.
I did.
Thank you for that. I looked all over.
She
went to Pottery Barn.
I ended up there. Actually, I went twice.
And you picked something out for me that you and Mike pitched in.
Yeah.
Right? And you gave it. It was in a huge box, a giant box. The box is way bigger than the present.
Definitely.
Yeah, there's like all this kind of... It was like one of those boxes inside a box inside of a box. But actually, it's the coolest, like, sort of a slate.
It's a black slate base.
Yeah, black slate base with chrome, very heavy chrome X's and O's on it.
It's
and
because it's a, I love you. No.
And it's got... And it's,
that sounded like it was Exos, but
yeah,
it's a tic-tac-toe board.
Tic-tac-toe.
Let's be clear.
I can play with my son, and when my daughters come over, they can play also. It was great. Thank you. I love it.
Or you could pretend I'm just sending you X's and O's
kind
every
of matches
day.
My whole...
motif.
Decor. Yeah, motif. Even better. Better word. I
thanks,
like that.
Carl.
I can't wait to go home and put... I'm going to put it on. I know exactly where I want to put it.
Oh, good. I'm so glad.
I'm
going to
put it right next to my table that has my coffee table book on it.
Yep, that's yeah. where to go. I walked into Pottery Barn. There's this big, like, marble table, and on the table was this really cool slate tic-tac-toe board, and I said, that's it.
Well, you know what? Great job. I
Thanks.
Love it. I
I'm
really
so glad.
Do.
It's really cool.
I really appreciate it. Thank
I'm
you so
happy.
Much.
Thank you.
I was not as original
but
as you were.
It's my favorite gift.
Yeah. Well, okay. I gave her gift card.
Is this not my story to tell?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
So he gave me gift cards, probably from Walgreens, but they're American Express.
Yeah.
Right?
I got them at Walgreens.
That's what I said. But they're for money, and so I can use them anywhere. Yeah. So I most appreciate
Don't
that.
Don't spend that $25
so
in one spot.
He gave me two $10 gift cards, both American Express. So I could go to Chipotle and get chips on the side.
No,
of my
it was a
my
little
dinner.
Bit more than that.
Yeah, and I
just
can get a drink too.
More.
I can add get a drink.
Add another.
And a queso.
Yet another digit.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, but thank you. Thank you.
You're
I really
very
do
welcome.
Appreciate the flexibility of a gift card.
Yeah, you could take those in Florida. You can spend them.
I don't
right?
think they're going to last that long.
No.
But we'll see how it goes.
Listen, $25 lasts a pretty long time.
I'm going to get an extra drink, a large drink next time I go to Chipotle.
There you go. Well, happy Hanukkah.
Thank you. Happy holidays. I really appreciate
yeah.
it.
Yeah. All right. Well, enjoy your present. You got to take a picture of whatever you buy.
It's a deal.
With that $25
gift
card. I
sure will. I thought it was like two fives, but I'll take 25.
Okay. It is 1 o'clock in the morning, and it's time for the news. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Man, I'm a big spender, huh?
I know. I'm well aware.
Hey, big spender.
Ba-dum-bum-bum.
Next hour, Life of Riley Christmas show.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Welcome back. Hour 3 of the WGN Radio Theater. Thanks for staying up late with us. Our text in line, 312-981-7200. And in this hour, it's a great comedy on the Life of Riley Christmas show starring William Bendix as Chester A. Riley. And it's all brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow!
This actress stars in the upcoming film Little Italy about a couple who must navigate their romance amidst a war between their families' competing pizza restaurants. We were just talking
talking about pizza.
I love pizza. I don't know. It's a thing that's
you're
like
gonna
my
turn
favorite.
Into a pizza.
I don't eat it that often. I turn into a blimp, but I love pizza.
Yeah,
it's my favorite food.
Yeah, you like it.
I just told Tom that tonight.
Yep. All right. Well, what do they win?
All right. Oh, they're going to win a Twilight Zone. It's a 4-CD set.
Nice. 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actress was the star of the Nancy Drew film series.
I'd like to remind everybody that unless you've had advanced emergency medical training, you must never attempt this on your own.
All right. Who is that actress? 312-981-7200. Give us a call. We'll find our winner after these words.
We are back. You were extrapolating nothingness from my brain. We're playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
I'd like to remind everybody that unless you've had advanced emergency medical training, you must never attempt this on your own.
So, Carl, is she on your list in your little black book?
1,000.50 billion percent.
So how did I know that?
Yeah.
So anyways, our wonderful producer, Tom, took a caller off the air because Ellen knew that was you're laughing, that was Emma Roberts. So congratulations to Ellen.
Lisa has the giggles over here. I'm not tickling her or anything. She's way too far away.
No, so she won a Twilight Zone. It's a 4-CD set. So
very
that
good.
Is fantastic.
Way to go, Ellen. All right, so you know what, Lisa? It's time for Life of Riley. You like the Life of Riley.
I do. Yes, I do. And that's funny because I use that phrase.
Living the Life of Riley.
I've always used it.
It came from this show.
I know that, but I didn't always know that.
Yeah,
so.
It's a comedy series. William Bendix starred as Chester A. Riley. He was a devoted family man, and his occupation was airplane riveter.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of airplane riveters back in the World War II days, they needed them. This show was created by a very good friend of mine, Irving Brecker. I got to be very close friends with him, his last maybe 10 years of his life. And he used to take me to the Beverly Wilshire Country Club, and we'd talk about the great days of radio. He introduced me to a lot of famous people. Great guy. And I think he may have been the one who introduced me to George Burns, and I became friends with George.
Sure.
He created this series for his friend Groucho Marx, but it didn't sell with Groucho Marx in the lead, believe it or not, but it did sell with William Bendix in the lead role, and it was very popular on radio. There were films on it, and then it even made a transition to television in 1948 with Jackie Gleason playing Chester A. Riley in the first season, and then William Bendix taking over thereafter. We have a radio Christmas episode from December 20th, 1947, a flashback to their first Christmas. William Bendix now, part one of The Life of Riley.
It's new. It's amazing. It's Prell, P-R-E-L-L, Procter & Gamble's new Radiant Cream Shampoo in the handy tube. Prell brings you The Life of Riley. Prell, the shampoo that removes unsightly dandruff in as little as 3 minutes and leaves hair radiantly clean, radiantly lovely, presents The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. Well, Christmas will be here in a few days, and Chester A. Riley is in a jovial pre-holiday mood. As we look in on him, he's gleefully outlining his plans for the big day to Babs and Junior.
Yes, sir, kids, it'll be a great day. And afterwards, we'll eat a big Christmas dinner, and then we'll go visiting. We'll visit all our friends who gave us presents and thank them, and then we'll visit those who didn't give us presents and give them their last chance to come through. Ah, oh, there's nothing like Christmas, eh, kids?
Aw, Pop, do we have to go through the same old routine every year?
Well, just what do you mean by that remark?
Well, nothing, only... Well, can't we go away somewhere over Christmas?
Go away? Leave our home on Christmas?
Why not, Daddy? We could go to Lake Arrowhead. They're skiing and...
I'm shocked. I'm speechless.
Well, what's the matter now, dear?
Hey, do you know what they're saying, those children of yours?
Oh, now they're my children.
They want to go away for Christmas. Leave our home. That's the thanks I get for giving birth to them.
Oh, now they're your children. Well, they're just talking.
Jeepers, Daddy, you'd think we said something horrible.
Yeah, some gratitude. I work like a dog, day in, day out, slaving to provide a nice home for you kids. The least you could do for me is to spend Christmas in here, in the home I bought for you.
Pop, you don't own this house.
Well, all right, don't do it for me. Do it for the Bank of America.
Oh, now, Riley, they didn't mean any harm.
Okay, but believe me, it hurts to think my own kids don't appreciate their home.
But we do, Daddy, honestly.
The home that I created with working and planning. Why, there's part of me in every room.
You're so right, dear. I wish you wouldn't leave your clothes all over the house.
Well, I'm sorry. Junior will pick them up later. You kids don't know how lucky you are. You don't know what it feels like not to have a roof over your head. But your mother and me know, don't we, Peg?
Do we? I'll never forget our first Christmas after we were married.
No, let me tell them. You see, I didn't have a job, so I had to swallow my pride and move in with my outlaws.
Pop, you mean in-laws.
To me, they'll always be outlaws.
Now, Riley.
Now, let me tell it my way. Well, there we were, living on charity.
Why, Riley!
Well, that's what your father said it was. Day in and day out, your mother's father would nag at me. nag. Why don't you get a job? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? I remember one night, just before Christmas...
Supper ready, Peggy?
Well, yes, Papa, but Chester isn't home yet.
I don't see why I have to go hungry just because that good-for-nothing husband of yours...
Oh, Papa, please don't start that again.
When is that Chisler going to get a job?
Well, give him a chance. He's looking for one. You're not being fair to Chester.
Fair? He doesn't want to work. Yesterday, I talked to Harry Arkin and offering him a job at Coney Island. Why did he turn it down?
Well, I made him. I won't have people throwing baseballs at my husband's head.
Well, I'm sure the baseballs don't like it either.
Hello, Peggy.
Oh, hello, Chester.
Hello, Mr. Barker, sir.
Oh.
I'm sorry I was late.
What's the matter, Chester?
I got an awful headache.
Oh, Chester, you took that job at Coney Island.
No. I've just been walking so much.
Oh, you poor dear. Shall I get you an aspirin?
Yeah. Put it on a piece of bread. I'm hungry, too.
Well, we'll eat in just a minute. Any... luck today, Chester?
No, nothing. But maybe there'll be something in the want ads tonight. I'll just take a look and... may I look at your paper, Mr. Barker? Thank you. Mr. Barker, I brought you something.
Oh, what, Chester?
It's out in the hall. Yeah. You see?
That's a big package.
Yeah. I heard you say you wanted a Christmas wreath for the front door, so I got you one. Here.
Oh, Chester, it's simply beautiful. Take it, Papa.
It's very,
You're welcome.
You see, Papa, Chester does think of you.
Nice wreath. Big. I don't think I've ever seen a wreath as big as this. Why, you...
Well, Papa, what's wrong?
Look what it says on the back of this wreath. Gone, but not forgotten.
Why did you buy a wreath like that?
Oh, I didn't buy it. I got it free from Digger O'Dell the Undertaker.
Why, you good-for-nothing, giving me a wreath from a funeral parlor.
But it's not the wreath that counts. It's the thought behind it.
You're nothing but a lazy, shiftless loafer.
Oh, Papa, please. Oh, don't mind Papa Chester. He says terrible things, but he really likes you underneath.
Well, that goes for me, too. I like your father underneath. That's why I gave him a wreath.
Stop your soft soap. If you had any character, you wouldn't be scrounging here on charity. You'd go out and make a living for your wife.
I'm not going to stand here and be insulted. I'm leaving.
Go ahead, leave.
Let me finish. I'm leaving as soon as I find a job.
Alibis. Always alibis. You're lazy, shiftless, and you're a born sponger.
One of these days, your father's going to say something that I resent. You know, I'm very sensitive. Peggy, you're crying.
Oh, Chester, I just can't stand the way you and Papa are always fighting.
Well, don't worry, Peg. It won't be forever. I promise this Christmas we'll be in our own apartment. I swear it.
Oh, Chester, be practical.
Christmas is the day after tomorrow. You haven't even got a job.
Well, I'll get one. Have a little confidence in me. Gee, you'd think a guy's own wife would have a little confidence in him.
Oh, but I do have confidence in you. I know you'll make good. You're sweet and ambitious and honest, and you have brains.
Well, you don't have to go that far. I just have confidence.
Oh, my goodness. We have to make another payment on our furniture tonight.
Yeah, that's right. Only I didn't even get any odd jobs today, so I'm broke. Could you please lend me the dollar for the payment tonight, Peg?
Oh, certainly, dear. Here, take $2.
Oh, no. No, no. You know my rule. I never borrow more than $1 from you, and I always pay it right back with the next dollar I make.
All right. Here's a dollar.
Thanks. That makes $88 I owe you. Well, here's this week's dollar, Mr. Strauss.
Thank you. And here's your receipt, Mr. Riley.
Is our furniture still in the showroom?
Yeah, still there. But, Mr. Riley, you've been looking at it for 88 weeks. Why don't you have it delivered to your home? It's yours, you know.
Well, yes, we know, Mr. Strauss.
Oh, we'll have you deliver it before Christmas, for sure.
Fine.
Come on, Peggy, let's go see our furniture, huh?
Oh, it's so embarrassing, Chester, keeping our furniture here this long.
Well, don't worry, Dumpler. We'll take it the minute we get our apartment, as soon as I get a job, as soon as the Depression's over.
There it is, Chester.
Oh, it's beautiful. Hey, look at that. What nerve.
Well, what is it?
That guy there in pajamas lying in our bed. Hey, get out of there, you!
Oh, Chester, that's a dummy in our bed.
Oh, yeah. Lucky dummy. Gee, I can just see myself there in his place.
Oh, Chester, you've just got to get a job.
Well, don't worry, Dumplin', I will. I'm going to go buy tomorrow morning's paper right now and follow up every ad in it.
That's the way to talk, Don.
Yes, sir, my head's made up. From this minute on, I'm going to be independent and not depend on nobody for nothing. Peg, lend me 2 cents for a paper. I just got to get a job. Here we are. Bookkeeper. Cook. I can't cook. Model wanted. Must have beautiful figure, size 36 hips. Parisian corset company. Just my luck. I got 38 hips. Oh, this is help. Female. Oh, here we are. Male. Barber. Chauffeur. Business executive will pay very high salary to expert driver. Apply Hotel Smedley, room 203. High salary. Oh, boy, that's for me.
Hello? Yes, this is room 203. Okay, come on up. That was some cluck who fell for our ad. Put your coat on, Spider. You don't want him to see your holster.
I don't like it, Duke. I don't see how it can leak.
Look, I'll explain it to you for the last time. How many bank jobs did we pull last year?
3, but...
And what happens? 3 times we got a monkey behind a wheel who gets nervous and blows before we're ready for the getaway.
Well, how do we know the monkey we get through this ad won't get nervous?
Because when he's sitting outside the Third National Bank, he won't know it's a stick-up. He'll think we're in there transacting some business.
I don't like it. I was brought up like this here. When you rob a bank, do it legitimate.
We'll do it my way, Spider.
Okay, Duke. Only you think we can find a Jake dumb enough for this here setup?
We'll soon find out. Come in.
Good evening, Mr. And Mr.
Come in.
Oh, thanks. Is the job still open?
Yes, it's still open. Sit down, Mr.
Riley. Chester Riley.
Are you a good driver, Riley?
Oh, yeah, you bet. Just the man you need. I never go more than 20 miles an hour.
Well, on this job, you might have to. You see, sometimes we have to go places in a hurry for business reasons.
Oh, well, I can speed, too. What business are you in? Kind sir, if I might be so crude.
Finance, banking, you might say.
Oh, banking! I know all about debentures and the fiscal fiduciary.
The what?
Fiscal fiduciary?
I like the way this man talks.
Yeah, just the type we've been hoping for.
Riley, the job's yours.
Oh, thanks.
Be here tomorrow at 2, Riley. I'll have the car here, and you'll drive me to the bank just before it closes.
Yes, sir. I'll be... And the salary?
$100 a week.
Oh, bless you.
Okay, Riley, stop kissing my hand.
Well, And this is the living room. Well, Peg, how do you like it?
Oh, Chester, it's a beautiful apartment. Isn't it lovely, Papa? Oh, I can hardly believe it. Everything happened so fast. Yesterday we didn't have a thing, and now you got a wonderful job.
Yeah, and what a job. 100 smackers a week.
And we got this gorgeous apartment, and we'll have our furniture this afternoon.
Yeah.
Well, Papa, you ought to apologize for all those mean things you said to Chester.
I accept your apology.
Now, Papa, you apologize right.
Well, I'm sorry. I guess I was wrong about you. Looks like you're going to make good after all, son.
Son? Peg, did you hear? He called me son. Oh, Papa!
You know, that is Peg's dad there, the actor playing Peg's dad on that show. Alan Reed, the voice of...
Fred Flintstone,
yeah,
for sure.
He did a ton of radio. He was Pasquale on Life with Luigi.
He actually sounds the same. I mean, his voice quality is very recognizable.
I know. All right, this is a December 20th, 1947 episode of The Life of Riley. Good Christmas show, and we'll get back to it in just a few minutes here. But first, these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right. Hey, we had someone text earlier asking, and someone asked this last time, if they order my book, The Top 100 Classic Radio Shows, will they get it in time for Christmas? And the answer is yes. If you order it within the next couple of days, you can order it 24 hours a day. Just go to our website, WGNRadioTheater.com, and there will be a pop-up which pops up. Just click it, read all about it. Read all about it, you know, like the newsboys. Yeah, it's a big honkin' coffee table book. It's 4 pounds,
224 pages.
Yeah, there's hundreds of photographs of these great radio players in front of the microphone, and there's all kinds of information. I co-wrote it with an authority on classic radio, Martin Grams. He's written a lot of books. He's a terrific writer, and the two of us collaborated, wrote this book. Took us about 6 months, and it's available to our listeners. It's only $29.99 plus $5.99 shipping and handling. I will autograph it, personalize it to you absolutely free as part of the whole presentation. Just go to WGNRadioTheater.com, learn all about it. I'm really excited. You can pick it up at Costco, Barnes & Noble, Sam's Club, Amazon. But if you want it personalized, I'm happy to write whatever you want me to write in there. Some people have wanted me to write ho, 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 Merry Christmas and stuff like that. I have my black marker and I'm just...
Does it have to be black?
Well,
Could you use a red one?
I just use a black Sharpie.
What if they wanted you to use green?
I don't know if I have a green marker.
Well, that might be the next
request.
But
I would probably go buy a green marker for them, if that's what they wanted. So just go to WGNRadioTheater.com. I'd love you to at least check it out. And it makes a great Christmas gift. And I would hope you'd want to put it on your coffee table. Lisa has one on her coffee table in her mansion.
I just got a new coffee table.
Yeah, put it on there.
I just got it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I have it on my my coffee table as well. So the top 100 classic radio shows. And it also has 3 CDs in it, which has 6 classic radio shows. Plus, you can log on to a special website and digitally download 78 classic radio shows. 78 of the 100 classic radio shows are available for digital download. So you can kind of listen to the shows and read about them and all kinds of fun stuff. Lisa gave a bunch away for Hanukkah presents.
I did.
Yeah. Thank you, Lisa. Well, only charged you double.
Right. It was worth it, though. The book is a steal.
I should have just gave you one of the books instead of a $25 American Express card.
Well, then I would have 2 books.
Yeah.
I'd rather have the two $10.
Yeah, the two $10.
Because I love Chipotle and I love Blaze, so I'm on my way.
There you go. All right. So check it out, WGNRadioTheater.com. And it's time now for the conclusion to The Life of Riley.
Well, I've got to get down to my office now. You too, I suppose. That's Chester?
Oh, no, not me. Not until 2 this afternoon. Banker's hours, you know.
Well, I'd better run along.
Goodbye, Papa.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, here's your paper, son.
Thanks, Papa, darling.
Oh, Chester, that's not our paper.
Well, yes, it is. I told the boy to start delivering. I want to get domesticated fast.
Oh, it'll be wonderful from now on.
Yeah. Every night I'll come home from work and I'll flop down on my lounge chair by the fireplace here. But like this.
Oh, Chester, that's only an orange crate.
I know, but let's pretend. And then you put the footstool under my feet. Well, go on, do it.
But there's no footstool.
Oh, let's pretend.
Oh, Chester.
And then you'll sit on my lap and tell me what you did all day. Come on, sit on my lap.
Oh, silly. 9 o'clock in the morning.
I know, but let's pretend.
Well, I don't mind.
Good. And then you read the paper to me. Go on, here.
All right. Let's see. Listen to this.
Huh?
Police nab notorious bandits in hotel room.
Oh, it's nice here by the fire.
Last night, police arrested Duke Wagley and Spider Giffen, notorious bank robbers wanted in 10 states.
Well, I got no sympathy with crooks. Any guy wants money, let him get an honest job like I did. Gee, I got a sweet boss.
The pair were nabbed in their hideout, room 203, Hotel Smedley.
Hey, that's a coincidence. My boss lives in the same hotel.
Really?
Yeah, not only that, but in the very same room.
Hey, would you mind very much if we were no better off than we were last night?
Oh, but we are better off.
Let's pretend.
Now, be quiet. Let me finish reading.
No, don't read anymore. Read something else.
Well, all right. What?
Read the word ends. Oh, Maggie!
Riley is telling his children the story of how he and Mrs. Riley spent the first Christmas of their married life years ago.
Well, there I was, kids, with this beautiful apartment, and the man who was going to give me the money to pay the rent was on his way to Sing Sing.
Gee, that was a tough break, Pop.
What did you do, Daddy?
Well, what could I do? I gave up the apartment and called up the store not to deliver our furniture. So there it was, still in the showroom.
And then you went back to live with Grandpa?
No. After all, I had my pride. I got another apartment, a little less expensive and a little higher up, but it was home. I remember the first time I brought your mother to see you.
Chester, where is this apartment?
Well, only one more flight, Dumplin'.
But we walked 8 flights already.
Yeah, but we got the penthouse.
It's so high up. Suppose we have, 9 flights are awful hard on a baby.
Yeah, it's lucky we ain't babies. Oh, here we are. I'll get the key.
Oh, the door's open.
Oh, yeah. Why, that's the hinges. They're a little loose, but the landlord's going to put in a new door. Well, let's go in. I'd carry you across the threshold, but I ain't got the strength after them stairs. Watch out. There's a loose floorboard around here somewhere.
Well, put on the light.
Well, there's no lights yet, but the landlord's going to connect them.
Oh!
Good for you, Peggy. You found a loose floorboard. Did you hurt yourself, darling?
Well, no, it's all right.
Oh, good. Now, let's see what this door's for.
Oh, well, at least there's a big closet.
That's the bedroom.
Oh.
You don't like it, do you?
Well, I guess it'll be all right, but won't it be a little cold here?
Oh, that's no problem. We'll be as warm as toast in here as soon as the landlord puts in a heater.
Well, when's the landlord going to do all this?
Well, I don't know. He went to Florida for the winter.
Oh, Chester.
Look at that view we get through the skylight. The whole sky. Look, it's snowing. Oh, this is going to be a real Christmas, Dumplin'. It wouldn't be Christmas without snow.
But the snow isn't supposed to fall inside the house. Oh, Chester, let's go back to Papa.
But, Peg, I thought you wanted a home of your...
You're right. This is no place for you. We'll go back.
So this is where you are.
Papa!
Oh, you shouldn't have come. We're not ready for company yet, Pop.
Don't pop me, you big baboon. Have you lost your mind?
Watch out for that loose...
You expect my daughter to live in a hovel like this?
Watch out for that
you
loose...
You have the nerve to invite the family here for Christmas? Oh, my knee. Well, don't stand there, you idiot. Say something.
Watch out for that loose floorboard.
Peggy, you're coming home with me.
He's right. Let's go, Peg.
Not you. Just Peggy. Come on.
I'm not going, Papa.
Peggy?
No, go with him, Peg. He's right.
I'm staying with my husband.
Your husband. Your husband is a no-good loafer.
He's right, Peggy. Your husband's a no-good loafer. And I'm a witness. Go with him, Peggy.
No. I'm staying with you, Chester.
All right. Have it your way. But remember, you made your own bed. Now lie in it. Goodbye.
It shows you how smart he is. We haven't even got a bed.
Oh, Chester.
Peggy, maybe you should have gone with him.
Oh, no, I don't mind being here with you.
Well, I don't mind either with you.
I like it here.
I like it, too.
We'll be happy.
Well, sure we'll be happy. But don't cry, Peggy. If there's one thing I can't stand, it's a woman who cried. Gee, the snow is deep. Oh, I just got to get a job and a decent place to live. We can't stay where we are. I wouldn't be found dead in a place like that.
What kind of place would you like?
Who's that?
It is I, Digby Odell, Flatbush Friendly Undertaker. Merry Christmas, Riley. And I'd like to wish you a Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Well, what's happy about it?
Oh, look on the bright side, as I always do. As I said in a Yuletide poem I once wrote, and I quote, "'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through Odell's house, not a creature was stirring."
Well, never mind the rest, Digger. Gee, things are bad. No money around. Today, the butcher said his customers walk in, look around, and walk out again.
I'm lucky. My customers never walk out. Knockwood.
If I could only get a job and a little place to live. We got our own furniture, but it's still in the showroom at Strauss's department store.
I know the store well. Yesterday, some ruffian stole a sign from there and hung it on the door of my business establishment. Oh, I was incensed.
Why? What did the sign say?
This week, all our boxes will be wrapped as Christmas gifts.
Digger, I'm licked. What's the use of going on?
Oh, never lose hope. As we often say in our profession, there's life in the old boy yet.
Oh, gee, Digger, if you could only think of something.
Eureka, I have it. Your problem is solved.
Digger, you mean... But where? How? What?
Hurry, man. We've no time to lose.
Oh, Digger, you saved my life.
I did? Well, it's Christmas. Come along. We'd better be shoveling off. Jingle bells, jingle bells.
Well, Peg, in another few minutes, it'll be midnight and Christmas. Are you happy?
Oh, yes, Chester.
Okay, come on, sit down here beside me on the sofa.
On our sofa?
Yeah, on our sofa. Every horsehair belongs to us. Gee, it's like a miracle, thanks to Digger Odell. If he hadn't have gotten me that swell job...
Just think, an hour ago, we were freezing in that awful apartment. And look where we are now. It's like a fairy tale.
Yeah,
And good old Digger is my fairy godmother. You know, like in Cinderella. It's just as if he touched my head with his magic wand and turned it into a pumpkin.
Oh, I'm glad you're happy, dear.
Well, why shouldn't I be? I made good my promise, didn't I? I said we'd spend this Christmas alone. And here we are.
Yes. Without Papa.
Yeah, that's the best part. Well, it's late. Time for sleepy bye.
Oh, I'm so tired. Oh. Well, your night shirt's over there.
Oh, I can't go to sleep now. I'll lose my job.
Oh, yes. I forgot you're the night watchman in this department store.
Yeah. I'll wake you at 8. We gotta be out of this showroom by 9. Merry Christmas, Dumplin'.
Merry Christmas, sweetheart.
The Rileys will be back in just a moment. Everyone's going for Prel, Procter & Gamble's Radiant Cream Shampoo in the handy tube. Mrs. Jeanette Fisher of Chicago, Illinois, tells of her discovery of Prel.
Thanks to Prel, I've found the answer to really glamorous hair. Prel leaves my hair so clean, so soft, so manageable, simply glowing with radiance. I'll never be without Prel.
Friends, you'll go for Prel, too, once you see how quickly Prel removes embarrassing dandruff. Leaves hair radiantly clean, radiantly lovely. You'll sing about
P-R-E-L-L, Prel Shampoo. Leaves hair radiant, gleaming bright. Not a bit of dandruff is in sight. Comes in a tube, handy too. P-R-E-L-L, Prel Shampoo.
Well, that's the story, Junior. Your mother and me spent our first Christmas Eve all alone in a department store.
Gosh. Well, you weren't in the window, were you?
Oh, Junior, don't be a goof.
Nah, and we were glad to be there. We thought we were lucky.
You certainly had a tough time.
Well, of course, we only stayed there one night, but the next day we got a little apartment.
Yes, and I hope you kids will learn a lesson from this story.
We did, Daddy.
Well, sure, Pop. It's kind of crazy to want to go away when we've got a swell home.
I guess we owe you an apology.
That goes for me, too, Pop.
No.
Oh, Riley, you sounded just like my father.
I did? Well, then I take it back. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Procter & Gamble invites you to join us again next week to hear The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. The script is by Alan Lipscott and Reuben Shipp. Mrs. Riley is Paula Winslow. Digger O'Dell is John Brown. The Life of Riley is produced and directed by Irving Brecker.
Oh, she was the Duchess' daughter. Her finery looked just so. She washed them all as you water. With wonderful ivory snow.
Ah, wonderful ivory snow. The soap that's so kind to your hands, you just know it's kind to sheer nylons and dainty lingerie. And your hands will tell you why ivory snow keeps lovely washables lovely longer. Prove it. This week, wash dishes with ivory snow. When you see how it pampers your hands, you'll really know it's extra kind to fine fabrics. There's no other soap like it. Ivory Snow's the only soap, both ivory mild and in granulated form. Make suds instantly in lukewarm, even in cool water. Your hands will tell you why Ivory Snow keeps pretty lingerie and other nice things lovely longer.
Oh, wonderful Ivory Snow.
S-N-O-W.
This is Ken Niles reminding you that for radiantly clean, lovely hair, get the shampoo in the tube. P-R-E-L-L, Prel Shampoo. Listen again next week when Prel brings you The Life of Riley. Merry Christmas and good night.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
This is WGN, the world's greatest newspaper.
It certainly is.
Yeah, that's The Life of Riley, December 20th, 1947. And on these, they would do flashback stories a lot when they were just getting married, you know, Peg and Riley. And if you listen to their voices, they would talk kind of like higher. Peg would talk like this, and Bendix would talk like this. They did a great job. They sounded younger, you know. Very funny series on the air. A long, long time. Made the transition to television. There were some movies. And just a terrific, fun series. Hope you enjoy The Life of Riley. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. So my brother is going to take the co-hosting reigns next Saturday.
I know. I'm sorry, but I will be here in spirit, and I will still be manning Facebook and all of our social media, and I might even call in if I find the time.
Oh, wait,
you know.
Wait a minute. Not next weekend. It's Mike Gastella is going to be the co-host next weekend.
I don't know what days
you
have.
Yeah, because next weekend we're on Saturday and Sunday. We have Suspense, Phil Harris and Alice Faye, This Is Your FBI, Fibber McGee and Molly, Escape, and the Damon Runyon Theater. Yeah, Mike Gastella next week with me here instead of Lisa's in Florida. Well, have fun, Lisa.
Thank you, I will.
Enjoy that $25 gift card I got you.
It was 20, but okay.
Was it 20?
It was two tens.
I spent the, opened the bank, Nick. I wrote a huge check for Lisa for Christmas.
Yeah, sounds
because
like
I'm worth it.
Last year, I only did 15. And this year,
so that's 20. That's a big percentage. You know.
So hi, Nick the Gilio. What's going on, my friend?
Nothing.
And we were just talking about The Shape of Water.
Yes, which we're going to review in just a few minutes.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. I definitely want to hear that because I love Pan's Labyrinth.
Well, you know, Guillermo del Toro is a really interesting filmmaker. He's got an incredible imagination. And very original, too, in terms of style and tone. I mean, he makes adult fairy tales, if you can do that.
Yeah.
He's a great visual stylist, too. So,
just amazing. I remember, was that one of his first films?
No. He's been making movies for
Okay, because when I remember when it came out, and I was just like, whoa. I mean, I was blown away. I remember, and I'm not a big subtitle guy. I don't really, you know.
Foreign films?
I'm just not, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't like to read it. I just want to hear what's going on. Although I would have liked it if they would have done it in Dunkirk because I couldn't understand a word they were saying in that movie.
Right.
And I still say it's going to win Best Picture.
It's possible. I don't think it's going to win, though. I mean, there are too many movies right now that are on a...
I know.
There's a ton of stuff coming out between now and the first week in January.
Looks like some great stuff, too.
Yeah.
All right, so what's your favorite movie of the year so far?
Baby Driver.
Oh, yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Baby Driver and Colossal are my two favorite movies of the year.
I didn't see Colossal.
Nobody did.
Yeah, I didn't see that. All right, well, what else is happening on the show this week?
Well, we got the movie reviews coming up. My dad's going to call in and tell a joke, as we always do every Monday morning. And we are also going to talk about the most memorable, best debut performances in movies. Like when people come right out of the gate, their
best
first movie, and they kill
movies.
It. There's this kid right now, Timothy Chalamet is his name. He's going to get nominated for an Academy Award. He's in a bunch of breakout movies right now. He's in Call Me By Your Name, and he's going to get nominated for Best Actor for that.
Wow.
And he's in Lady Bird right now.
Yeah.
He's in a movie called Hostiles with Christian Bale. He's like the hot new young talent. And although Call Me By Your Name isn't his first movie, it's his first lead. And he's amazing. This kid is amazing.
And how old is he about?
21, I think he just turned 21.
Wow, isn't that great?
Yeah, he's a kid.
You know, that's terrific.
And this Call Me By Your Name is going to, you know, that'll be nominated for a bunch of awards. He's going to get nominated for that.
Wow.
And, and he's great. And have you seen Lady Bird? You saw Lady Bird.
I did, yes.
He plays the...
Yeah, I was going to ask you, who is he?
He plays the jerk boyfriend who she starts to see after...
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Lisa
always
likes the jerk boyfriend.
To all girls.
The one who's always reading and smoking.
Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah,
that's Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah.
He's got a future, man. I mean, he's.
Well, everybody in that movie.
Well, they were all great.
Was fantastic. They each had their own niche, but I'll have to watch for him.
Yeah. He's the deal. He's the real deal.
Hmm.
Yep.
Well, I'll be listening, my friend.
Okay.
Me too.
All right. So stay tuned because Nick DiGilio is up next. And, I will be here next week with Mike Gastella as my co-host. Lisa will be in Florida enjoying
I will be back.
The sun. All right. So thanks for listening, everyone. Thank you, Tom Hush, for producing the show.
Thank you. Great,
great job. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago, WGNRadio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio.